Welcome to North Ridge Church. We're so glad to be with you guys. My name is Noah Bixby, the Brighton campus pastor. Baby Brighton is looking amazing. For 3 months old, we launched 3 months ago, and thank you so much for partnering with us, for being a part of what God is doing here at North Ridge. It's just amazing. All month long, we've been in this series on the ripple effect. Can someone say ripple effect with me? Ripple effect. I love the title of this series. I'll be sad when we're out of it, but it's just this picture of the ripples on the water, right? It's this picture of you canoe out into the middle of this lake, and it's maybe blue light out, and you got those dark branches hanging into the water, maybe some mist on the side, and a few fireflies around the loon off in the distance, and you canoe out into the middle, and this bead of water runs down your paddle and slips off into the lake, and bloop, ripples, you know, as far as you can see. And in the beginning of the series, Drew talked about how when we saturate our lives with the gospel, as our hearts break for people far from God, that we run towards the mess, that we'd walk towards the mess. And then we followed that up with a message last week from Nate Miller talking about how we could share our faith with people in clear, practical ways. Today we're talking about overflow. And what an overflow is the outward signs of an inward change. The outward signs of an inward change. And so we're talking about what our lives look like as a result of the inward saturation of our hearts with the gospel. And what that means to us is an overflow. And I brought a little visual aid here with me because, you know, I'm Noah and I love visuals. And I wanted to make an explosion. And a lot of you are like, I didn't realize that we'd be in the SeaWorld splash zone here in the front row. So back up a little if you need. But I'm about to go in, and I found a new use for an invite card as well here, the Ripple Effect Invite Cards, a new series in 2 weeks, so shout out to Invite Cards. And you're thinking, open baptism is next week. Well, we're going to try a little open baptism this week with some Coke. So take a look at the inward change that happens, then the outward signs that occur when overflow takes place in our lives. Watch this. Come on. Whoa! Wow. That is amazing. Amazing. I love it, right? Yeah, can we get around? Yeah, it's awesome. So cool to see someone's life overflow. What I love about this illustration, about this picture, is that the gospel is everywhere. That it's everywhere. It's saturating everything around it. It's soaked in. It's dripping. It's pouring over everything in its surroundings. And the same thing happens in our lives. When we are saturated with the gospel, it begins to saturate everything around us in a ripple effect. We overflow with it. Hope, peace, spilling up out of our lives, overflowing into every area of our lives. And so this whole series about the ripple effect is kind of summed up in this overflow concept. And our vision for this series is that Rochester would be saturated with the gospel, that we would be people who overflow into our areas, into our communities, into our towns, and that we'd be a city that they say, yeah, last year Rochester had the second highest child poverty rate, but this year, because of God's grace, we're growing towards a brighter future and stronger families. And the Northridge would be a lighthouse for people, that they'd come from miles around to hear the truth of God's word, that they would hear the truth and the message of Jesus, that they would be filled with peace and hope and joy, that our murders per capita would go down, and that we'd be a city walking in God's redemptive plan and his movement to change the world. And we'd be walking with him, working with him to restore, rejuvenate our city and saturate it with the gospel. People would say, Rochester was like this, but God came in and changed it. He saved us. He changed it. He made a way for Rochester to be saturated with the gospel. And a life that overflows saturates what's around it. So for you and for me, that starts eyeball to eyeball, shoulder to shoulder. A life that overflows saturates what's around it. And you say, no, I hear you know that this is a big vision for our series and that we're going to be able to saturate Rochester with the gospel and we should be filled with peace and hope and joy. But I just don't feel full. I feel empty. I don't know what you mean by overflow. I can't pour anything out until someone pours into me. I feel like I'm just, what is hope? What is joy? What is peace? Those things are foreign to me. And maybe I've been striving and you've been flapping around on that lake, but there are no ripples occurring. The gospel is not moving and you just feel like you're running on fumes. Maybe you're here and you're in that spot, or maybe you're just wondering, what is this all about? We are so glad you're here. You're in the right place. Maybe this was a Hail Mary and church was your last hope, and we are the right place. We're thankful that you're here. We love you. And I want to introduce us to someone who meets Jesus on E. They're running on fumes, on E. And they don't know what they don't know, and they're missing hope and joy, and they're calloused to the religious systems of the times. And Jesus meets them, and their life completely changes, 180-degree change. Maybe you're in that shortage place, that mindset where you just don't have enough. You said, I came to church to be filled up, not to hear that I should overflow with the gospel, Noah. I don't have external signs yet. I need to be filled up. Would you take a look at the screen with me? This is a mini-series called Chosen that's on TV. And I just want us to, it's not word for word the Bible, but it just gives you a picture of what it might have looked like for Jesus to meet a Samaritan woman at a well. Take a look.
And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you, and it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him, because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know, but not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your
Fancy, a man who told me everything I ever did!
Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And I don't know where what you walked in with today, where you're at. Maybe you're on E. Maybe you're someone who is short or running on fumes. But I just challenge you, maybe you've never met Jesus. We'd love to pray with you. Come down front and pray with someone at the end of this message. I just asked you the question, could your life or would your life be any worse if you met Jesus today? Could your life be any worse if you met Jesus today? Could it be any worse if you met him? We'd love to introduce you to him and have that conversation. I love what happens in the Samaritan woman when she meets Jesus. Because maybe you walked in on E, but there's nothing left in the tank. And I just want you to notice the source in this passage. The source that Jesus talks about is himself. He replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I will give them will never be thirsty again." Later on in John 7, we see him say a very similar thing. He stood up to a crowd. Imagine just standing up at a mall or something, just shouting out to this. Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Everyone who really believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their lives. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Everyone who really believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their lives." Because the reality is, we cannot be a source until we have the source. You can't be a source for others until you have the source. You can't be there for someone else and be a weight of hope and of peace and joy and of love until you have found the source for yourself. And Paul talks about this a little more, even breaking it down. There's a lot of passages on overflow in the Bible, but Romans 15, 13, this is the one that, if you want to pull your Bible out, your app, your notes, and follow along with us, it'll be on the screen behind me, but this is a place where I really want to dig in and dive into the Bible. It's an amazing book. It divides flesh and joints. It's just amazing. And every time I read it, I'm astounded by something new in it. And I just want us to deep dive on this verse a little bit and to focus on it because it's changed the way I look at the world. It says in Romans 15, 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Joy and peace. And that because you trust in him, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody looking for hope here today? Anybody come for hope? Man, I love this. He is the source of our hope. God is the ultimate source of our hope, who we should go back to. And I see there's two ways to approach hope in this passage here. You can source your hope from two places. The first mindset I see, kind of the first place you could source your hope or find your hope, is in yourself. And it's a shortage mindset. The shortage mindset, you look at your limited resources. Your focus is on your limited resources. What's in the bank account, what you can do, how strong you are, what you can lift on your own, how much you can do. But the reality is you cannot fill yourself up from an empty place on your own. That the shortage mindset focuses on what you have and asks the question, what if I were my own source? But thank goodness there is another way, because the shortage mindset ends in an overwhelmed life. It ends in an overwhelmed life. The other option is a surplus mindset. And in the surplus mindset, we shift our gaze not on our own limited resources, but on God's unlimited resources. And when we shift our focus from our resources to God's unlimited resources, we live in a surplus mindset. The result of a surplus mindset is an overflowing life. When you live out of a place of being loved, you can be love for others. When you have a source, you can be a source from God through you to all. In the Bible, it talks about us as being a vessel, as us being a cup filled up from God through you to all. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is our source through the Holy Spirit, is what I see this verse saying initially. God is our source. And when you source your identity and your hope and your peace and your love out of God's limitless resources, it changes your view on the world. And you become moved from being overwhelmed to overflowing in his grace, in his peace, spilling up over the edges. Some of us, you know, we live in the shortage mindset today. We try to manufacture it and do it on our own and fight through. And this could be true of believers or non-believers. Maybe you're here in the room and this makes sense to you. But if you run to other places for love and try to fill that gap in your heart, we run a million miles an hour trying to fill it with other things, with all sorts of things that we work towards. We try to fill it with drugs, alcohol, money, social media, career, white picket fence, relationships, the next high. We try to fill it with consumerism or the house or that girl, that guy, whatever it might be, we try to fill up that hole in our heart and live a filled life on our own. But it doesn't work unless you live out of a place of already being loved, of knowing the source, of being filled by God. You cannot love others fully. Because you were loved freely, you are able to love freely. It's not about what you do, but about who you know. You can overflow in direct proportion to the amount of Jesus in your life. God is our source through the Holy Spirit so that we can move from a place of shortage to a place of surplus, where we move from overwhelm to overflow. So once you've found a source, once you've realized it is from God and not from some other area, some other place in life, then you're able to trust in him to overflow. And it says, because you trust in God, then you will overflow. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Because you trust in him, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've met someone like this who lives out of an overflow, someone who lives a life, a generous life, a life that lives out of extra, out of abundance. They trust God to take a Sabbath. They give back to God. They love God by serving others, and they don't measure what they get in return, but give freely of what God has already given them. They love without boundaries, without measuring, hey, what does this person can do for me? It's not a transaction. It's a person to love, and they see people the way God sees people. People who live out of an overflow of hope look like the Samaritan woman. I love the smile on her face. I could watch it every time, and I smile again when she runs away saying, I have to tell other people about Jesus. He's told me everything I've ever done. And I don't know if you've ever felt that, where it's just exploding out of your life, where it's saturating everything around you. You have too much hope. You can't keep it to yourself, where it's just too much to contain. It's blowing up, and you've got to share it with other people. Too much hope, too much peace, too much love. It has to be shared. You have to share the seat with someone else to invite them in to take their next step with you. And I don't know, I love if she runs away and you think, where'd she run to? Right? Like, what happened at the end of the story? Well, I'm going to help us out. I'm going to finish the story. The lady runs off into the city and she starts telling people, this is the man who told me everything I ever did. And it says in John, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything that I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days long, and long enough for more to see and hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now believe, we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. I love the impact that this Samaritan woman makes on her village, on her community. She overflows with the power of the gospel. It's in every inch of her life. It spills out, overflowing over the edges. God desires for us to have a life overflowing with his character in the same ways, same amounts of peace, joy, that smile on our face. I don't know if when you first accepted Christ, how you felt, that feeling of, I've got to tell someone else. I don't know if you shared the gospel to someone who's like, I don't even know. I have to talk about Jesus with you, and I don't know if it's appropriate yet, but I just have to tell you about this person that I know. And that excitement could be yours. That hope and that future is yours. The gospel saturation is God's vision for the world. He plans to accomplish this vision through normal, everyday people saturated with the presence and the good news of Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. A life fully drenched in the unending, unconditional love of God, that we'd overflow from God, from our source, through us, the vessel, the cup, to all. From God, through us, to all. That we would overflow from God, through you, to your neighbors, to your community, to the world. So my question is this, right? We talk about all this. You say, oh, it's great. I know. I want to overflow. Like, yeah, whatever. Splash zone. Cool. I get the vision. But does your life overflow? Let's make this a little more personal. Let's get really to the heart of the matter. You're missing hope. You came in on E, you know. Does your life overflow with the gospel? What does that look like in your life? What does that look like for you? The gospel is not meant to be a pond in your backyard or to flood your basement. Those blessings, those gifts that God gave you, maybe that leadership gift, it wasn't meant to make you a lot of money, but to glorify God. Maybe those gifts weren't made for you, but for you to overflow and share with someone else. Maybe that blessing, that money you came into wasn't for you, but to be shared with the world. Maybe building a bigger barn to contain God's love, joy, peace, patience wasn't what God designed us for. Maybe he designed you to overflow, to change the world, to be something. Me, it just was the way that God used it in my life, right? That I had a leadership gift, and he said, I don't want you to make money with it anymore. I want you to use it to change the world. Use it to glorify me rather than yourself. There's actually some verses in Romans that talk about how you are each gifted with something individually, that we're gifted, we're given this gift. And it's not ours, it's for each other. And we're able to share that in the body of Christ and use that to build one another up. So my question is this, does your life overflow? God won't trust us with a lot until we've been faithful with a little. And a river flows. It doesn't stop or become stagnant or become a pond. It doesn't absorb the resources that God has given us. We need to overflow to the people around us. Maybe you need to live below your means so you can overflow or share what you've had or share the gift that God has given you in a special way. And I want to be honest with you guys. You know, talking up here is not easy. And coming up with this talk, It's been the hardest talk for me to come up with yet. And I've just racking my brain the last couple weeks. I'm like, this talk, this isn't even very good. Like, I'd read it, I'd do it again, I'm just like, this it's kind of stinks. Like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. So I went to Drew. I talked to Drew. I went to ChatGPT, talked to ChatGPT. It didn't really have a lot of answers for me. And I love the Bible. And I can get so enamored with it. I mean, it's amazing. Every time I read it or study it or preach on it, I totally miss things in it. And my puny brain just skips right over them. And there's a part of this passage that I just, whoop, right over. And I don't know why I did that, but something's wrong with me. And I'm broken. But after about 50 times of reading this passage, I got it. I got this last little phrase. And I mean, I love the Bible. I'd encourage you to study it and read it because things like this happen to preachers, happen to pastors all the time. We totally missed the point of the verse. And we studied it 50 times. Here's what it says. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you missed it this whole time too. Maybe we've read this verse. I don't know how many times I've read this verse already in this talk. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what ChatGPT says. It doesn't have confident hope. It doesn't matter if I went to talk to Drew. Didn't provide me confident hope. It doesn't matter what I say. You won't overflow. I can't control how much overflow you have. You can't control how much overflow I have. The only place, the only thing that determines overflow is the power of the Holy Spirit. When you trust in God, then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I had an ending for this message, and it was great. I mean, it was an awesome ending. I got to tell you, and I'll save it. Someday I'll preach it. But I deleted it. I deleted it because I think we each need to write the ending to this message for ourselves. Rather than some practical next step that's going to really cut to the heart of the quick of things, the power of the Holy Spirit has to work in us to convict us of the areas that we are absorbing God's grace, God's goodness, God's gifts, using what he's given us for selfish desires to please ourselves, or where we're running to other things to fill us up, where we're running to the wrong thing and having a shortage mindset rather than using God as the source and being reliant on him and trusting him to provide the love we need. And we can't do anything on our own. Our lead pastor won't fill us up, won't give us confident hope. Brighton campus pastor is definitely not filling you up with any confident hope. He just completely missed the point of this verse a whole time after studying it forever. And so no amount of words or things that we do or say react in our hearts the way that the Holy Spirit does when we pray. And so what I wanted to do is just take a minute and have this message become personal, that it becomes something you build the next step to. It might be an area of your life like serving or giving. Or I want to give 1% more. I want to serve 1% more. It might be something, I have a gift and I have a passion. I want to use it for God's glory. I want to overflow with hope. I want to share the gospel with this person. I want to give to my neighbors more. I want to make some cookies and deliver them this week, or some bread. I want to share the message of Jesus like the Samaritan woman did. I want my village to know about Jesus because I am passionate about Jesus. I want my life to overflow in a way that glorifies God rather than brings me glory. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to slow down. We're just going to pray. We're going to pray about contributing rather than consuming. We're going to pray about how we can move from a shortage to a surplus. We're going to pray about the power of the Holy Spirit doing outward signs because of the inward change that's happened in our hearts and that's happening in our hearts. So if you guys would just bow your heads and pray with me for a little bit. Lord, we pray that we would honor you with our lives, that we would listen to your Holy Spirit, that you'd line up our heart and our head and our spirit right now in this moment, that we would listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, that we would take a minute to push through the awkwardness of the first 10 seconds and to listen to you. God, I pray that you would meet us in this place, that it would be clear what our next step is, that we would see you the way you want to be seen. God, I pray that you would use this church for your glory, for your kingdom, to change the world one life at a time, that we would overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd make our next steps clear, that you would give us your grace to carry them out. Amen. Would you guys stand up with me? We're going to sing a song together. Stand up to your feet. Stand up, I know. And we're going to read this over you as you go and we sing a song. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with the joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow through the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's sing.